You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
October the 12th, 2022, we are live streaming at rumble.com. Go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors, USA. It'll take you to our page. You can see where to push to join us in studio live. If you miss it, you can pull up the podcast of the Rumble later, and, of course, the audio podcast at larryconnorsusa.com. And you can always subscribe, and we'll make sure we send it to you. No cost, and we do not share your information. Well, we're going to get into it in more detail in the next segment coming up. But in an interview with CNN last night, President Biden did say, I don't think Putin will actually deploy a nuclear weapon. No rational person would think of using nukes as a prospect of doing anything because that could lead to something out of control. And he was asked specifically about, well, what about your remark about Armageddon? And Putin has a way to spin it to say in a way that I didn't really say it. Putin said it. I'll let you hear the interview segment coming up in the next few moments, and you make your decision. Also, on that same interview, they were talking about the economy, and it's still the belief of this president that, all right, there's not going to be a recession. If it is, it might be a slight depression, a little bit. Well, the latest numbers out show that our inflation has dropped a bit, but it doesn't mean it's going away. In fact, it's still at the highest it has been. And on top of that, when the president says it's going to drop just a little bit and it's going to get better, he doesn't know. He's guessing because everyone around him seems to be lost. And in fact, to that point, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen made a point to say, all right, so I didn't see inflation would be increasing and remain as persistent. It's not as transitory as I thought it would be. And she said, and I'm quoting, but I'm in good company for failing to see that information. That's your excuse. You're the Treasury Secretary, and you say, I made a mistake, but everybody else did too, so they're all to blame too. No one up there is taking accountability. Don't expect it anytime soon at all. Well, the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol will be meeting tomorrow. It'll be just to basically extend the January 6th inquiry to move a little closer to the election. And they would go all the way up to the day of the actual election next month, but some of those members need to be home campaigning. In fact, all of them need to be. And so there'll be no witnesses appearing in person Thursday. It's just going to be a wrap-up and basically statements made. But you already know what the statement is going to be, and that is that Trump remains a clear and present danger. That's what they want to say about Trump. Tell me how you would put that argument against this, that the FBI, in testimony yesterday, under threat of perjury if he's lying, a counterintel agent with the FBI said they were offering British spy Christopher Steele up to $1 million if he could prove his claims in that infamous dossier, which had Trump and prostitutes involved in various activities. This the FBI offering to bribe somebody for this kind of information? Is that not a threat upon our democracy and the weaponization of the FBI? Yes. Yes, Larry. I'm glad you asked the question. And in fact, today a Democrat candidate in a key House race is using a doctored photo to make his opponent look bad. And you know who it is? You got a picture of some Latinos and one in particular, Maya Flores in Texas, showing her holding an AR-15 trying to make her look menacing and threatening. You don't want to vote for this person. Then we also have Senate candidate Herschel Walker, now virtually tied with Senator Raphael Warnock, just 28 days from Election Day. That's good news. The other part of the story that's come out that's kind of gotten lost, Walker's been under attack constantly from the left, but they're trying to give Warnock an easy pass to get reelected. His church had apparently tried to evict tenants because they were overdue in rent during the pandemic. And Walker says, I'll personally pay their back rent to keep them from being evicted. And Warnock, pastor of that same church, was going to evict people. In one case, they were overdue in their rent by $28.55. And you're going to kick them in the street? Which party is heartless? Stand by, please.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning, you're sneezing, it's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
You recently said that this is the first time since the Cuban Missile Crisis that there's a legitimate possibility of someone using a nuclear weapon, which could lead to Armageddon. That's the word you used. How realistic is it, do you think, that Putin would use a tactical nuclear weapon?
Well, I don't think he will, but I think it's irresponsible of him to talk about it. The idea that a world leader of one of the largest nuclear powers in the world says he may use a tactical nuclear weapon in Ukraine, and the whole point I was making was it could lead to just a horrible outcome. And not because anybody intends to turn it into a world war or anything, but it just once you use a nuclear weapon, the mistakes that can be made, the miscalculations, who knows what would happen.
That was part of an interview CNN's Jake Tapper did with President Biden last night. Now, you heard Biden point out, when Tapper is asking about use of the phrase Armageddon, he's kind of inadvertently stepping around saying Putin used it. Putin didn't actually use a word. Putin didn't make references that we also have tactical nuclear weapons and do not think that we won't do what we need to defend our country. And, of course, they're now considering portions of Ukraine part of Russia. That's where the issue and the battle is underway now in Ukraine. And more missiles, as you're on the network news, falling across parts of Ukraine today. Falling indiscriminately, I might add. They can all be sent with pinpoint accuracy, or should be able to, unless they have problems that they're in. And they know exactly where they're going. And they've been hitting into residential areas, sometimes hitting transformer stations nearby, but they're right in the midst of a civilian area. They're not targets of military value other than to strike fear into the civilians. But in that interview last night, you heard Biden in his response saying, well, it's Putin's the one who's escalating all this. He said, I was just simply saying Putin shouldn't be talking about using a nuke. And that's why he used the term Armageddon himself. If you recall the day he said that remark, I said it's going to be interesting to see if the White House begins to walk that back, like they tend to do a lot of statements that Putin, that Biden makes sometimes off the cuff, maybe in a teleprompter or misread, who knows. That was made in a closed-door meeting, a fundraiser. No cameras, no video, no audio, supposedly. We've yet to hear or see anything from inside it. But there were those taking notes, and they quoted him, and then that got spread out as to what he told these fundraisers. And I raised the question again, was he using that term with this group as to make it clear that you need to give me all the support for me and the Democrats you can, because if we go into this, you want to have a strong leader, and I'm already there. I'm the guy you need to keep in place. You don't change horses in the middle of the stream. It's as simple as that. That's what he might have been trying to say. But whatever he intended, it kind of blew up on him. But the White House was not going to backstep this one. They said, well, he was just insisting and making it clear and stressing how serious the situation is. I think we already had that understanding without throwing in the term Armageddon. And I will say this, if situation were reversed and Trump used that phrase, I'd condemn him as well. And I have to say, for once, I guess I agree with the French President Macron, because he said that was very imprudent to use that kind of language. In other words, he's saying we need more diplomatic ease in language. But he used it. And so Tapper held him to account to that extent last night. And then the question that is very interesting that Tapper raised, because in addition to Biden's remarks, there was, he quoted in turn, as I just told you, what Macron said, and then asked, what does that mean? Because between Macron and others, the way they see Putin compared to the way he had been, is there something wrong with Putin? And remind you, this is Jake Tapper asking Biden, do you think there's something mentally unstable about Putin?
So French President Macron told me that he doesn't think that Putin is acting rationally. And he said that he thinks a lot of this is because of how isolated Putin was for 2 years during the pandemic. And others who have dealt with him, Condi Rice and Bob Gates and James Clapper, have used words like erratic and unhinged to describe Putin's behavior today. Do you think Putin is a rational actor?
Now, that's a very interesting question to put to Biden, because so many are of the belief, and even in the Democrat Party, that Biden himself is not all there. This Sunday is his birthday. He's going to be 80. I wish the president well, and you should too. He is our president. Like it or not, he is our president. He represents our nation. Now, I don't wish any ill health on him. But 80 candles means a lot of years, a lot of experience, but maybe at a point now where it's just not working the way it used to. Everybody reaches that point, or they reach death before they reach that point. If Biden is capable of defining how Putin's mental state is, can he not define his own mental state? Because I think too many times he could not do so. All right, let's go back to the question from Jake Tapper, and let's get Biden's response.
Do you think Putin is a rational actor?
I think he is a rational actor who's miscalculated significantly. You may recall, I pointed out that they were going to invade, that all those 100,000 or more troops there, and no one believed that he was going to invade Ukraine. You listen to what he says. If you listen to the speech he made after, when that decision was being made, he talked about the whole idea of he was needed to be the leader of Russia that united all the Russian speakers. I mean, it just, I just think it's irrational.
So if he's not rational, and
no, I didn't say he's not rational.
You said the speech is what
I think.
Right.
I think the speech is okay. His objectives were not. I think he thought. Jake, I think he thought he was going to be welcomed with open arms, that this has been the home of Mother Russia in Kyiv, and he was going to be welcomed. And I think he just totally miscalculated.
Now, that may very well be true. That may be a very good assessment that Biden made about Putin. If he's correct, well, let's give him credit for it. I don't think it runs that counter to what many already believe. So, in one sense, he may be parroting what he's told, but he may also believe it. And I think Putin has overextended himself. I think Putin is looking for some way to, how do I extract? I mean, they continue to have protests throughout Russia. They've been locking people up and some never to be heard from again. And soldiers being sent to the front line that originally were being told, keep in mind, this is just a training exercise, as they gathered around Ukraine. And then they're now at a point where they're trying to conscript eligible men and draft them in. And there are reports of up to 700,000 young Russian men leaving the country by whatever means they can. The Kremlin says that's an exaggeration. There's not that many. May not be. But they definitely have young men who do not want to serve. They don't want to go to that war. And the parents of young Russians who are being gathered up are already in Ukraine. They don't want them to be there. There's a report that something like 60,000 Russian soldiers' bodies did get sent back the other day to the motherland. 60,000, but they went in with 200,000 or more plus, and the numbers vaguely come around 100,000 now, and who knows, really. And then you've got those who were on the front line that simply dropped their munitions and their weapons, got out of their military clothing and tried to blend in with the others in Ukraine. Because remember, they were all part of the Soviet Union at one time. And they all can kind of speak the same language, and it'd be easy to blend in and just say, I wasn't with those guys. I'm here with you all this time. And then that person tries to get out of Ukraine, out the west into Poland. And then, of course, you've got the idea that Putin had decided we're going to take a lot of those who are in our jails, our gulags, and say, you want to go free? You go to the front line, we'll let you free. What kind of military officer or soldier will you get in that case? When they get on the front line, are they going to continue to stay there and fight, or are they just going to do the same thing and desert? So Putin's got to be looking at all this and the discord inside his own government. And so Biden might be right that Putin kind of overextended, but is looking for a way out. He does not want to be, does not want to go down as a loser. And that was part of the other questioning line that came from Tapper last night, and that is, how is all of this going to end in Putin's mind? How can he make it happen? Where's the off-ramp?
What is the off-ramp? Is there any acceptable way that he can leave in his mind without seizing territory in a way that would not be acceptable to Ukraine?
I don't know what's in his mind, but clearly he could leave. He could just flat leave and still probably hold his position together in Russia. The idea that he's been able to convince a significant Russian of the Russian people that this is something that he thought made sense, but now he's accomplished what he wanted to do, and it's time to bring Russians home.
Maybe. Maybe he's at that point that I've got what I want. I made it clear where we stand, and he's had some of these properties, these areas that have had their own little amendments to say they're now part of Russia, which are meaningless. But he can then pull out and say, well, they made the agreement that they're now part of Russia, so we've accomplished what we wanted. We're going home. And he knows that the amendments that they've adopted are meaningless. They have no weight on the world stage. But he can say, we left only after we got that done. Or maybe he won't. And, of course, Ukrainians, you have to keep in mind, long before the Russians moved in, there were already battles going on inside Ukraine that most of us were unaware of and we didn't pay attention to, because there were these small little Donetsk regions and things of that area where they were already fighting to keep, as to be part of Russia, or to go back to part of Russia just after Crimea fell. But those battles will continue anyway. The key is, do you keep Russian troops in place in Ukraine? And can Putin use this off-ramp and leave and still claim that he won the victory he went in to get? Ukrainians will deny it. Let them fence off with words. I'd much rather see that, wouldn't you? Rather than missiles and guns and explosives. But then back to Biden's remarks about Armageddon. When he made those remarks, you heard him explain in the beginning that he only was talking about how Putin had brought it all up. He didn't bring up that specific word, but he brought it up when he starts talking about nuclear weapons. So Biden, once again, explaining why and saying my remarks were aimed specifically at Putin.
I'm talking to Putin. He, in fact, cannot continue with impunity to talk about the use of a tactical nuclear weapon as if that's a rational thing to do. The mistakes get made, and the miscalculation could occur. No one can be sure what would happen, and it could end in Armageddon.
And you still are afraid of that, though, that it could.
Well, no, I don't think anyone, any rational person saying the initial use of a nuclear weapon, killing thousands of people, does not have the prospect of leading to something that can be way out of control.
And I agree. Once you start, it could escalate out of control quickly. To that note, by the way, today the White House released Biden's national security strategy, and the White House saying this is the president's priorities of what they call a decisive decade for global challenges like climate change. My God, they cannot get around putting that into anything and everything that they can shovel it into. That's our strategic security strategy, right? Huh. Then we've got the FBI admission in court. They were trying to bribe someone with $1 million.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. So testimony came out yesterday during the trial of Igor Dunkanchov. Dunkanchov, I think, may be the other pronunciation. One of those tied to creating the false Steele dossier that was being used to slander Trump. And in the process, an FBI supervisory agent, analyst, made the confession that during Igor Dunkanchov's trial, that they offered Steele $1 million if he could prove the allegations in that dossier involving Trump and prostitutes. We're now into bribing people for evidence. If you're the FBI, shouldn't you be saying, you either bring us this information and prove it exists, or we're throwing the whole case out? That's what they should have done. Or also threaten to put him in jail if you got the information, you're not giving it to us. Why should we give an informant $1 million for something like that? Well, because, Larry, explaining to myself, is that this was a political witch hunt, and the FBI was in on it. There was no issue and concern about law enforcement. There was no issue about even national security. The whole issue, the goal, the aim was do whatever you can, whatever it takes, to demolish Donald Trump and anyone supporting him. Now, I personally, if you have some problems with Trump and you don't like him, that's fine. I don't quibble with you. You're entitled to your opinion. I have had some issues with him. I brought up on the air numerous times before. But what I really have issue is someone using our government agencies such as the FBI, and it's soon going to be the IRS, to target political enemies, because that's exactly what was going on here. If you've got the FBI supervisory and analyst Brian Alton confessing from the stand under threat of perjury that we offered $1 million to Steele to verify the dossier, I remember it all had a long list of false and concocted claims about Trump colluding with Russia to win the White House. Alton, now the FBI agent, now explaining repeatedly, still did not have proof that they were true. But rather than telling him, just bring us the truth, or, you know, we'll either drop the case because there's no criminality here, but there is political possibility, or we will simply put you in jail if you don't come up with the evidence. So they tried to leverage their connection to get this false information. And $1 million, my God, I'd look for all kinds of things to make up if I'm willing to get that. If you put that offer in front of me, would you not find some way to verify what you said happened? I would assume that Steele did make some effort. And Dutchenko, who is on trial now for perjury and some of his parts in dealing with this, he was also a paid FBI informant, and he was Steele's primary source for the information. So Prosecutor Durham is accusing Dutchenko of lying to the FBI to protect a Charles Dolan Jr., communications consultant with close ties to, here it comes, back, we do not know how big this is going to get, close ties to the Clintons. And you had this FBI agent that interviewed both Steele and Dutchenko as part of the FBI Crossfire Hurricane team investigating any connection between Donald Trump and Russia, and admitting that, yes, we offered him $1 million if he could prove it. Anywhere up to $1 million, but probably closer to $1 million. If you're going to do it, do the whole kit and caboodle, right? But the answer in the bottom line was, did you get any such information? Did you get any such information to back up the Steele dossier? The answer, no. But it didn't stop Steele from going forward with his story, and the FBI and other major heads of intel signing off on a letter claiming that it must be true when they knew it wasn't. There you have the destruction of a democracy. Coming up, what a boy does in front of his class is considered normal. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
On May 17th, my 7th grade daughter, along with every other classmate, watched a boy in her class masturbate.
I don't think that this is anything outside the norm.
Oh my gosh, that's not normal.
You got that. That is not a good stance. This is normal?
Speaking to the parents listening. On May 17th, my 7th grade daughter, along with every other classmate, watched a boy in her class masturbate. I only know this because my daughter told me in the car when I picked her up, saying her friends said they were disturbed, traumatized, and scared. The principal reported the incident to the district office. I've heard not from any one of them.
In other words, what the boy did in front of the classroom, as a mother explained it to the school board, you're the school board president, say, well, it's all normal. What he did was normal. Not denying the biological normalcy of a developing boy, but when and where, and standing in front of the classroom of the fellow classmates. This took place at Conejo Valley School District. That is a part of Ventura County, California. There you have it right there. That probably explains a lot of it, doesn't it? The boy does this in front of the classroom, which includes girls, as you heard the mother say, and many of them are shocked and frightened and everything else, and there's no protection for them. If the boy had stood up and said, I hate girls, then they would have cracked down on him immediately, don't you imagine? Or if he stood up there and started shouting out, let's go Brandon, maybe they would have gone after him at that point too. But for him standing up there doing what boys of that age will do, but not generally in public and certainly not in front of their classroom, the school board attitude was, it's a normal occurrence. It's not that big of a deal. I guess those members of the school board that have that attitude probably did not have their children in that class. What do you think? If they have any children in school. This is so far past, as they say, the pale that somebody's got to be held accountable at some time, and somebody's got to say no more. This mother's trying her best to make it clear this is totally unacceptable. But you've got the board basically saying it's, quote, nothing outside the norm. Now, if the norm is for boys to do that in front of the classmates, I'd say then you need to change your norm. If we're talking about what boys will do at that point, that is norm. But as I said again, in front of your class, and if other students are offended, as much as this, even the liberals are into self-protecting and, my God, if it's offensive, don't do it. I mean, if you just dare bring a police officer in to talk to us about a DARE program and that scares us, a police officer scares us, especially if he's wearing a pistol. But a kid can stand in front of the class and do that. And his punishment? Are you ready for this? His punishment? He's taken out of the class at that moment. But he's back the next day. Because, as you heard them say, that's just part of normality. Well, part of normality is not being accepted by those who say follow the science, and the normality being that there are only two genders. And there are those that are constantly pushing that if a boy or girl feels uncomfortable in their skin, then maybe they are the wrong gender. So we should immediately perform surgery on them, or at least get them on puberty-blocking drugs. I told you yesterday that there was a university hospital that was basically handing out puberty-blocking drugs almost like candy. There was no real consultation, not more than maybe an hour with a child who wanted to try them and thought they wanted them. They were just giving them to them. Project Veritas talked to a pediatric endocrinologist about some of this, where sometimes kids are regretting their decision if they go through with it. And this Dr. Metzger made a number of startling admissions in this talk to the World Professional Health Organization. He's at the British Columbia Children's Hospital. He said, it's always a good theory that you talk about fertility preservation with a 14-year-old, but I know I'm talking to a blank wall. He said, there are patients who regret it later if they're a boy and they go to become a girl. That if we didn't save some of the sperm, then we're not going to be able to, they will not be able to procreate for themselves down the road by in vitro, by whatever. He said, it doesn't surprise me that they have regrets, but I don't know what to do for the 14-year-olds. We try to talk about it, but most kids are nowhere any kind of brain space to really, really, really talk about it in a serious way. And yet we're going to allow them to go ahead and do this. One woman who regrets what she did was talking to a reporter, Laura Southern, and talking about that she made a mistake she realized later. Now, when she was all into going, I want to become trans, I want to go through the surgery, I want to do everything, everyone was supporting her. The other trans community, the doctors, all of them had said, yeah, let's go ahead. You want it? Let's do it. Let's make it happen. And then listen to this.
Now, once you had that feeling of, oh my goodness, like I may have made a mistake, what were the thoughts rushing through your head at that time?
It was a really dark place. And I was kind of just, the one thought was, it's too late to go back. And the guilt of all the people around me that I didn't really give an option to, because I was so sure. Like, I was sure for years. I was sure after top surgery. And I think in a total, I was on testosterone for, like, 5 years. And top surgery, like, 4 years after, I was happy. And then all of a sudden, these thoughts just started coming. And I didn't know what to do. And I started taking my time to look up the detransition process, and I was surprised that there is no help, or there was no help for my community.
Because she had decided to change her mind after going through, as she described it, top surgery. You know what she's referring to. She went on the blocking drugs and then had the top surgery, which means cutting off her breast. And then, after a period of time, she realized, this did not make me happy. This, I don't like it at all. I'm not happy. I'm in a dark space. See, they will tell you, those who push this all the time, if the kid wants to have a change of gender, you shouldn't stop them, because otherwise it might lead to suicide. How many kids do you think go through it later and reach the point of despair that you heard that young woman say? That I was in a very, very dark place. And she was no longer getting support from those who were all supporting her. When she wanted to have the operation, when she wanted to go through gender change, they're there. Oh, my God, we'll support you, holding your hand. We'll come by. We'll take care of you. You can just lay in bed while we take care of you, and then we'll get you out. We'll all go. We'll go have a big transgender party and everything else, and we'll all be happy. And she was for a period of time. And then she began to have regrets, much like this doctor that was recorded by Project Veritas saying that it doesn't surprise me these kids have regrets. He said, well, you try to talk about it, but most of the kids are nowhere in any kind of brain space to really, really, really talk about it in a serious way. This is a pediatric endocrinologist. So if he admits that kids are not capable of dealing with a subject to discuss the regrets that might come, then how the hell can you say they are acceptable and they're of sane mind and understand what it means to have the operation to begin with and everything that goes with it? All right, let's go back to the woman identified only as Sarah, as interviewed by the reporter Laura Southern.
And it felt like, you know, you have this community with, like, open, loving arms, like, you know, we'll accept you, but then sometimes you, well, in my case, in D-trans case, a lot of people will be like, oh, well, then you were just a transgender, or, you know, like, push me away, so that's, like, in a way,
That love and acceptance disappears as soon as you don't want to be a part of that transition.
Exactly.
So all the love and acceptance was no longer there. We'll love you and care for you as long as you accept your fate, because you chose it. You should be happy now. I'm looking at a piece here from the Marcy Bowers, the president-elect of the World Professional Association on Transgender Health, pointing out that medical and possibly surgical care for adolescents makes sense. Along the lines of, you know, maybe a really ugly mole that you've really never liked, and then finally it's gone. Bowers is now a man living as a woman. So equating removing a mole from your arm or your face or your back is equivalent to changing your gender, and now things are better. I'm not done with this story. We have more. Still to come. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli C, coming soon, joining Cafe Napoli St. Charles, Town & Country, and Clayton.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So we're talking about where the attitude of some who go through transgender surgery changes, that they suddenly decide that's not what I want. And maybe it's too late to go back for many of them. And in most cases, if they've had the full surgery, it is more than likely too late to go back. But it's not just their decision that they want to go back. It's what support they get or don't get from the very group of people that were more than willing to see them basically destroy their bodies as God gave it to them, to change to something that they thought would make them happy, and then later they decide it didn't. And unfortunately, we have too many out there that are more than willing to push it, to constantly push it, and have some changes made. I was telling you earlier about, or you were hearing in the previous segment, if you missed it, don't forget you can always go back to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull up the podcast later today. LarryConnorsUSA.com, or of course it's also posted on our Rumble page. You go to Rumble.com and enter in LarryConnorsUSA. So I encourage you to go back and hear that segment if you missed it, and also I encourage you to share the program with others you know. Because too many out there are just kind of willing to accept, well, if a child doesn't feel right, they want to have a sex change, they should have a sex change. Sometimes these kids don't even know what they want for dinner. And what juvenile has not felt uncomfortable in their body at some point? You just think, well, I'm not this, or I'm not that, or they've got that, and I don't. I mean, you go through this as kids, and at some point, maturity hits you, and you realize, I am who I am, and I should be glad and happy and thankful, but even then some aren't. But when you get doctors that are joining in on this, such as this, and this is not really a doctor, this is a president-elect of a World Professional Association of Transgender Health, that are pushing their ideas to doctors and clinics who will push in then in turn puberty-blocking drugs and surgery to children, you look deeper and you begin to realize why some are so willing to sign on. Now, the Marcy Bowers, who is a man living as a woman now, saying you should look at a sex change as simply like removing an ugly mole on your skin. It's always been there. You don't like it. You want it to go away. Rather than cover it up, wear sleeves if it's on your arm or maybe it's on your face, you just have surgery and take it off. And it's just that easy and that relieving, and you feel much better. But removing a mole is not the same as transgender surgery. And in that presentation, Bauer might actually be a doctor. I'm still looking at this. She is described as a doctor. I don't know what kind. I assume and something to do with that specifically, but stated that the transgender movement is under attack in large part because we're treating people, especially children and adolescents, potential with hormones and even potential surgery. Yeah, that's why you're under attack. You don't have to be that smart to get that idea. She said, I feel under some pressure to explain why medical and possible surgical care for adolescents makes sense. So this doctor does advocate for minors who identify as transgender to be able to get surgeries that seek to change their gender. And then also downplays the consequences of removing genitals or breasts to simply removing a mole. Not that big of a deal. That's such a callous, indifferent attitude. This is where we're going to some extent. The American Medical Association recently called on the Department of Justice to investigate and prosecute reporters and commentators who oppose the campaign to normalize child genderism. All right, I'm right here. You can go ahead and report me to the AMA right now. You want to prosecute me for what I said? Go ahead. Because I'm going to stand, that's one thing on this program, between that and protecting unborn life, I'm going to constantly fight against children being subjected to this. And if the AMA stating, asking Big Tech and the Department of Justice to censor, deplatform, investigate, prosecute journalists who question the orthodoxy of racial, or rather radical, gender surgeries for minors, that would be considered disinformation. I do not expect this station to take me off the air, but who knows? I might lose. Well, I'm not on YouTube anymore. I don't have to worry about that. They've already taken me off. They didn't like what I had to say. Facebook, they may shut down my Facebook account. Where are you going to stand when the line is drawn like that? Do you want to just accept that this is okay for children to undergo? And it shouldn't be that big of a deal? And then later, if they have regrets, after you've taken off their breast and changed them completely, that you chose it, you live with it. You ordered the wrong food. I told you, you should have gotten the fries instead of what you did get. It's not that simple, is it? As always, I thank you for listening and supporting. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.